Thank you. I'm just grateful to be back. For those of you that followed me on Facebook, you have seen a lot of exciting pictures and stories of my trip to Bulgaria. We went for 20 days with Brian to visit family, to visit my dad, who had some health issues. And we are happy to report that he's recovering beautifully. He's just really doing well. I thank you for your prayers, because I know a lot of you have supported me at this time as my dad experienced stroke. He's 80, but he's very strong in ministry. And the worst thing, the worst news after the stroke to him was this. When the doctor came in the room and said, "For the next 6 months, you will be quiet. You will not travel much, and you cannot preach." Now, that about killed him, not the stroke. So he's recovering very well, but he's trying to be obedient to the doctor's advice. He was released to drive pretty much a couple of weeks after he was out of the hospital. And so he goes to church to supervise, to oversee, and to pray, maybe the conclusion prayer. But he's not actively into preaching ministry yet. And he's counting the months and the days when he can take the pulpit. But what he did for us while I was there, he actually drove us to church so I can minister and I can preach there. And we really had a wonderful time. It is interesting to travel the world and to see different cultures. And when we come back, we experience this culture through a different lens, and it's enriched. And we bring something with us that remains with us, as we observe people, as we take reality in. What I was noticing the first day I was driving around after we arrived home, and I drove through a drive-thru. And the girl wasn't very fast to service. She was kind, but wasn't fast. And she wasn't inclusive of the things that she needed to offer me. I noticed that I wasn't irritated, and I didn't have an entitlement mentality anymore, because I was coming from a reality that was worse than ours, where people were twice slower to serve me, and where napkins were not in abound. So you have to actually ask for certain condiments and napkins and things that you take for granted in this country. And the small little bitty details that I noticed on my first day back home made me very humble. And I realized that God has blessed us with a wonderful country, a wonderful place to call home and to enjoy. And unless we go around the world, we don't carry a rounded appreciation for the country we live in. And I'm telling you, if you have the opportunity, it is nice to touch other cultures so they can impact you as you're impacting them. So we had a very interesting experience with Brian, traveling through the country, ministering at different churches, and he had the opportunity to be there for a week at a youth rally, which I know he is planning to share at youth on Wednesday night. Obviously not this week since it's VBS, but the following week. Because what I also found out, that the things Bulgaria lacked in service, in availability, in products, they made up in their zeal and passion for God. Because I'll tell you something. When you're growing in difficult circumstances, and when you're crying out, when you're groaning under your context, when things have oppressed you to the point where they're out of your control, then is you have no other exit route. You look to the Lord. You cry out to Him. And your heart is conditioned to open everything, every compartment that otherwise you would reserve for yourself. You're willing to offer it to God. And what we experienced in some of the places we minister that is exactly that. An openness and a deep desire for the Lord to take control over the things that were out of people's control. One thing that deeply impacted me to watch, now 20 years after we have left our country of origin, a whole new generation had grown up. Communism is no more in title, yet is very much present in reality. But this new generation that had tasted freedom is now ready to fight and ready to stand for something that gives them liberty and expression of creativity of the human spirit. And for the first time, I actually was encouraged about Bulgaria. While we were there, and I don't know if you've seen it on the news, but there have been a peaceful protest that has been going on for the last 40 days, and now it's over 50 days or 60 days in the country. And they go in front of the parliament in a peaceful way, but thousands of them, after work day, because they go to work. They're not taking off work to protest against the government. But after work, this is their rendezvous place, and they're walking in front of the monuments that meant much during communism and in front of the parliament, requesting that the current government steps down. And I saw young people, and I saw middle-aged people, and I saw old people. But there is a hope. When a change begins, it takes a while. The communist regime failed in 89, and in Bulgaria, actually, in 90. The Berlin Wall was torn down, one of those symbols of division in the world, the symbol of the Iron Curtain. But although it has fallen down, it takes a generation for a new people to rise up and to want something that is different than what the old generation offered to them. I want to encourage you, wherever you are in life, maybe looking at circumstances that are out of your control and you cannot influence them fast enough, the change that you desire is not coming quickly. But there is a new generation on the horizon. God is doing something with the new generations, with the young people around the world. If you're following news, you would see young people in the streets. And there is something that is going around the nations. For the Lord is preparing a new work in this earth. And we better pursue Him and His purposes for this earth. For Jesus said in His one example of how to pray, to seek that God's will come from heaven. As it is established in His kingdom there, it will come from heaven to earth to bear on our circumstances. And I want to encourage you today to cry out to the Lord for whatever your circumstances, that He can change and He can shake. And He can raise a generation that is going with the move of the Lord, that is a new, a fresh people that are after His own heart. What we saw in Bulgaria is young people that sought God like I've never seen them seek Him before. And as the news, one of those evenings, as we were at the youth rally, a news came that was very somber. Right at the end of the rally, the lead got up there and said, "This is what we just saw on our iPhones, that the peaceful protest, the people that were marching and minding their own business, now have been attacked by the police. And there is a beating going on, and who knows if lives might be lost." And a hush came over this whole youth crowd, and they knelt down and began to seek the purposes of God for their country on their knees and cry out for innocent blood not to be shed in the streets. I was very impacted to see young people seek the Lord on behalf of their country. I see a lot of young people today . It is you who will kneel down and who can seek after the purposes of God in a way that none of us can. Because in your young imagination, you are not confined by your own experiences. But you can seek God, you can look for the purposes of God, and you have the faith. Because you look at things and you say they can because of God. And we can trust that God can change and things can be different tomorrow. And so I want to ask you to purposefully pray, to begin to besiege God on behalf of this country, on behalf of this nation, and seek the purposes of God to bring His will from heaven to earth to bear in 2013 and on. For the Lord has great work still to do in this country. And it is the young generation of this country, as that generation is shaken and awakes for the purposes of God and begins to ask God day in and day out, corporately on their knees, then change will come. But change would follow the purposes of God. So I was very encouraged to see a generation that didn't know communism, that now has hope that liberty can truly march forward in that European country. And I want to encourage all of us to stand firm for what we believe are God's purposes in the earth and to see them come about through the prayers and through the dedication as we seek His will to come from heaven to earth. So I'm glad we're here. This morning, we had a sweet presence of God in worship. And that's what we come really to do, is to come and experience corporately God in worship, in prayer, in discussing the Word of God. So as we now bring the Word, I'm just asking you to actively follow the discussion we're going to have. Take it into your heart and then bring it into your connection groups, either at the end of the service or the connection groups that are going on throughout the whole week. And let us all do what the Word says and not just merely hear it. But as we come and experience God and connect with one another, we get prepared to be true impact in the world as God has sent us to do. So today, I have entitled my discussion with you, Partnering with God. And if you're bringing your hard copy Bibles or your iPhone, your iPad Bibles, Get them out, get them ready, and open to Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 and 25, and then we'll go into chapter 3, verse 1. So if you're ready, we can read together. You silently, me loud. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and they cried for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. I know it is a familiar text, but this is what I want us to notice in this text. And we can go to the next slide and apply in our lives. I really want this message today to be a great encouraging message that we will carry throughout the week. From that passage of Scripture, this is what the Lord lodged in my heart. Whenever there is a human need, there is a divine solution. So God, through an earthly vessel, now Moses. Whenever there is a divine, there is a human need, there is a divine solution through an earthly vessel. I know that it seems like we either walk into a need or we are out of it. It seems like sometimes we swim in a sea of trouble. And Tim said it a while ago, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we go into troubled waters. Now the question is, when we walk into troubled waters, what do we do? Life is not easy here on earth. Partly it's our choice. First sin that had affected all of the good purposes of God that he had for humankind. And so since then, human nature has affected the experience of living on earth. So I just want to give you a little bit of a background of this text, if you're not quite familiar with it. The Israelites have moved to Egypt. Joseph, if you remember the story of Joseph, was actually one of Egypt's prime rulers. And he was so generous to his father and his brothers and his family that he brought them all during famine to come to Egypt. And at that time, the Pharaoh gave them land and they welcomed them. And the Israelites actually established themselves in Egypt. And for a while, Egypt became a country of safety, a land of plenty, a land that truly was welcoming the Hebrew children, and they felt very much at home. Trouble was far away. They have just walked out of famine into the plenty and safety of Egypt. But Joseph died. And the Pharaoh that knew Joseph died. And then there was a new Pharaoh that came in who didn't know all the good things that the Israelites have contributed to their culture. He didn't know about Joseph. And that Pharaoh looked at the Israelites and the numbers of their posterity and said this. Now, this culture, which is a subculture of a country, is beginning to multiply with such speed that they become a threat to our security. And because of that, now let's deal harshly with them and make sure that we contain them and we stop the development of that subculture. So this is what this king decided to do. He implemented forced labor. He put slave masters over the Israelites. He worked them ruthlessly, made their lives bitter. And if you read the account, it says because they worked so hard with brick and they built, and they actually built two major cities. I mean, these are historical events happening to the children of Israel. Now, they built major, they were their major workforce for Egypt. And they were so exploited that their lives were becoming unbearable. Not only that, but the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, decided that this ethnicity has to be limited in number, so he decreed that all baby boys need to be killed at birth. It's interesting. Some countries really practice that nowadays. Sometimes we read historical accounts almost like a fairy tales. Like, you know, because it is removed so far back, it has no bearing to our present circumstances. By the way, if you're looking at the Israelite circumstances, you would find so many correlations. So to the point that they killed babies. Now, there were two edicts about killing the baby boys, and the second one was fairly successful because they were supposed to throw the baby boys into the river. The Nile was infested with crocodiles, and it wasn't a safe place to place a baby boy. Yet Moses' parents did exactly that. They decided to hide him in the middle of danger. Very interesting context. But the need was so great that the Israelites could not control it any longer. For a while, when the first edict came out from Pharaoh to the midwives to kill the baby boys, they were in control. And they thought, we will not kill the boys, but we will say that the Jewish women give birth so fast that they really don't need midwives. So we just couldn't get to the boys early enough. So for a while, the Israelites felt that they have some control over the situation, and they continued to suffer yet battle in their own strength as much as they could to limit the oppression, to limit the problem. I think a lot of times we find ourselves exactly there. There are needs in our lives, troubled waters that we walk in, And we feel like we're almost going to drown. And as we walk through those waters, we fear, what if it gets above our head? Yet, until it gets about to our mouth and begin to cover us almost over, we think we're in control. And we think we can do it on our own. We think we can take care of it. And we throw everything that we have, all of the resources we have. If you remember the woman with the issue of blood that went after Jesus to touch his cloak, and she thought, I can be healed if I only touch him. But do you remember what the text says about her? She had spent all she had on the problem. She didn't get out there the first time she heard about Jesus. Of course, it has been going on for 12 years. Jesus has been around only for 3 in healing ministry. I'll give her that. But still, she had to spend everything and then she'll go for another outcome. A lot of times, we have needs in our lives, and because we can control some of the aspect of the trouble we're in, we think we can keep it under control. And we do things until things get so out of control, and then we cry out to God. I want to say this to you. The Israelites were in Egypt for quite some time, and they felt comfortable in the land that has become their home. And that home has been fairly welcoming to them. That was a place of safety at one time. This was a place of income for them. This was a place for sustenance for them. This was a place where relatives and family resided, and they tried to control the situation on their own. And only when things got so out of hand and they saw that their whole ethnicity was going to be wiped out, because if you kill the baby boys, then you have no Israelites. You have no posterity anymore. Then at that point, if you look at what the text says, they cried out in their groanings. At that point, when the need became so great that it took them above and beyond the ability for them to control it themselves, they cried out for help from God. A lot of times we walk through life and we say things like, doesn't God see that? Isn't he a just God? Wouldn't he interfere? Why is he not moving? Look at my suffering. We really have to be honest with ourselves. We like God to move on our behalf, but only if we can instruct on how he would move. If we can dictate the terms of how he would deal with the problem, we'll take his help. Otherwise, we're not quite willing to see that happen. See, Moses, while he was in the palace, for those of you that don't quite know the story, you know, Moses was put in a basket in the River Nile because all baby boys had to be killed. Okay, but the parents saw something very special about this particular baby boy. I'm sure all parents feel this way, okay? You know, they see this. Do you guys feel this way? I know, yeah. We all feel that way. I feel I have one right there, very special one right there. But I'm sure the other two right beside him are very special too, okay? But to me, that's a special boy, okay? So they put Moses in a basket, made sure that it's waterproof, and put that baby boy in the River of Nile, among the crocodiles, by the way, okay? Somehow he was going to stay safe. It is interesting how in our attempts to control the situation, even when we fully think we control the situation, unless God intervenes. I mean, seriously, what did Moses' parents think is going to happen in the River of Nile, in among the crocodiles? Even if you have a basket that is waterproof. Now, tell me, what was going to happen to that boy? Yet, God knew that one day, when the Israelites have it above their heads. That's why we say up to here, okay? This is like when you're in trouble so deep that it had covered you all and you cannot continue any longer and control it on your own. At that time, God knew, they will call on me and I am preparing my strategy plan from here on, because I'm anticipating what the Israelites are going to do and cry out. Okay? So, in God's great mercy, compassion, and foresight, because the Word of God says He sees the end from the beginning, okay? He oversaw that this basket would actually catch the attention of the princess, the daughter of that same king who ordered the death of Moses. And she was going to take him home, and that same king was going to allow the adoption of Moses. This is all in God's foreknowledge, oversight of our problem while we think we are in control. And I'm sure that Moses' parents thought at that point, see, we had a smart plan. We put this basket, and it was waterproof, and the baby cried right on time when the princess was right there. And so she opened the basket, and he was so charming. She saw that he is a special boy. And there was no other special boys in that country, and that is why she adopted him as his own. We had a plan. But that's exactly how funny we sound and how humorous it is for the Lord to watch us and to say, okay, all right, okay, you still think you're in control? I just know you're going to be out of control very shortly. That is why I'm giving you the grace and covering your steps while you can still call on me. Covering your steps. So, they came to the point where they couldn't control any longer the extinction of their nation. So they cried out to God and they said, help! God, help! We release control. This problem now, too big for me. If I try it, I only get it worse. So God, please intervene. And you know what? Whenever there is a human need, there is a divine solution. So God. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Now let me tell you, didn't God look on the Israelites all that time? Wasn't God concerned about the Israelites all that time? Of course he was. Isn't God looking at your life right now as you are trying to keep things in control and hold the reins? And I mean, this horse is just really going to make a run for it, and you think you're in control. God is looking at you. It's not like he's not seeing you. He has taken a notice of where you are and how close you are to actually release the reins, to relinquish your problem to him. But unless you cry out for his help, he doesn't intervene. Because you know why? You're going to take it right back from him. How many times have we cried out to the Lord in the midst of some great tribulation? And as soon as God begins to move on our behalf, we just jump in and get in the middle of his solution and we ruin it all. Because now it's under our control again. It just got just slightly better to where the water got below my mouth and I can breathe. And I take the reins again. And we run after it. Just in the wrong direction. So God is waiting, God is waiting for him to say, so let me pay attention. For you to experience a so God moment in your life, you have to release full control of the situation and not go and take it back from him again. Because the way his strategy plan works doesn't align with yours. See, Moses, while growing in Egypt and while in his prime career path, being one of the first behind the Pharaoh, decided to take things in his own hands. He saw some injustice being done on the streets, and he jumped in and killed the Egyptian that was actually molesting one of the Israelites. So he thought that just because he can see justice, he can do justice. That doesn't go that way. After that murder, it cost him really his position in the palace. The Pharaoh heard about it, and he was seeking to kill him. So Moses couldn't remain anymore in Egypt. He actually had to flee out of the country, to flee and run for his own life, because he was trying to deal with the problem his own way. Many times, in the middle of trials, in the middle of tough situations. Now, you and God are on the same page on part of the problem. Like Moses saw the injustice that the Egyptians were doing to the Israelites, and God also saw that that is injustice. God wasn't disputing the fact that the way the Egyptians were treating the Israelites was injustice. They were on the same page there. It's just that they differed on the strategy plan. Many times, and I dare to say almost all the times, what we would see as a solution would not be God's solution to the problem. The strategy plan through which he's going to take us to get on the other side of that troubled waters is not the way we're going to do it. And so unless we release completely and totally the control of whatever we are keeping in our hands, things are not going to happen. So Moses not only couldn't deal with it, now he thought that he could, because he was up there. He was an Israelite, and in his mind, God has placed him in government for that reason. So as the time comes, he can really intervene and do things his way without consulting God and his strategy plan. And that cost him another 40 years of reshaping of his character. The problem wasn't the passion that he carried. The problem wasn't the heart of justice that he had. The problem was that Moses had to align his strategy with God's strategy. And this morning, that's kind of tough for me to preach, because I'm kind of preaching to myself. Do you know how difficult it is to align my strategy with God's strategy? Because I get the heart of God. And I like to think that my heart beats with the compassion of God's heart on most occasions. And so as I see a problem, I want to jump in and offer my strategy plan for the solution. And I've seen over and over in my life as the Lord just smiles and humors me, and sometimes allows me to try my own way, and it just nothing happens. I'm flat on my face. Then I have to get up and say, God, at that point, since I scraped my nose falling down, I'm about to release the reins. Please take them from me and give me the grace to keep my hands off of them. Because I'm just asking you, how many times we pray and we try that same thing, releasing yet keeping our hands on it, keeping our hands on the problem. And the Lord this morning is asking us, Michael, you can come to, we will continue that in part two. But in order for you to experience a so God had a solution for you in your life, you really today have to make a decision to release full control over the circumstances in your life. Not a heart that doesn't care. I'm not asking you for indifference. I'm asking you, because you care and because you want to see a difference made in your life, in your circumstance, in your co-worker's life, in your family's life, in your relative's life, in your neighborhood, and in your city. Because you care, let go of the problem. Not because you're indifferent. Because you care, bring the will of God from heaven on earth to bear on your circumstance. Because if you think that your strategy plan would make it happen, you are deeply mistaken. You will follow Moses' route from the palace to the wilderness. If you think that killing the problem would bring the solution, he thought an uprise in the nation by the Israelites, a war, a head-to-head fight with those that impose injustice, was going to bring freedom to his nation. Yet he was deeply mistaken. Little that he could imagine that in his lifetime, God had a solution to take the Israelites to the promised land. That promised land was like a fairy tale to them anymore. That story originated at the covenant with Abraham. God told Abraham to follow him to a land where he's going to take him, and it's going to be a land of plenty, and it's going to be a land for a blessing. And Abraham and his posterity will be blessed, and he will be a blessing to all nations in the world. And they retold this story over and 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 over. A generation to generation, a generation to generation. And recently I watched a series on the brain. Maybe some of you are watching that on History Channel. And there was a specific segment that was talking about the memory. And it's interesting that they said that the more you recount something, the more you don't pay attention to the details, and you almost kind of like forget it. It truly becomes like a fairy tale to you. It's not a reality anymore. You don't hold on to the details of the story. You don't trust that it's going to come about. So I don't think that Moses, in his wildest imagination, thought that the Israelites will walk into the promised land during his lifetime. He was almost going to get there. He had a peek at it. Sometimes, getting out of trouble, getting on the other side of the troubled waters has almost become a fairy tale to us. Like it is never going to happen. Because at the beginning, maybe you heard the voice of God and he told you the story about liberation and about being free in him and about the promised land that he's taking you to. And then the Holy Spirit recounted it again to you. And then you begin to even say it out loud. Maybe you even have shared it with your kids and your spouses and your family members and your neighbors. But it wasn't coming about. And the more you were telling it, the more it sounded as a fairy tale, because nothing is happening. And maybe you thought, in order to get out of trouble, I need to take the reins and be in control. For I waited too long on God, and He's not doing anything about it, so it's about time I do something about it. And everything that you've tried to do about your trial, your problem, your troubled waters, has made you sink even deeper and almost drown. Nothing really went the way you wished it would. This morning, we have come here to experience God. And this is our time when God is so generous that in a corporate worship setting, in a corporate discussion of His Word, He is sending another invitation to you and to me, saying, the promised land I have whispered in your ear about, it's going to happen. I truly meant it. And I'm about to give it to you if you let go of the reins. Let go. Let go, and I will step in. Abandon your strategy plan, and I will step in. On the basis of the covenant that I have promised Abraham to bless you and your posterity. This is what He said to Abraham. And you sitting here this morning is an immediate son and daughter of Abraham through the spiritual line. God has committed to you and to your well-being because He covenanted Himself with Abraham and his spiritual posterity to bless you and to take you to the promised land that He has for you. And this morning, He's inviting you to reignite the dream of the promised land, the dream of getting outside on the other side of the troubled waters. It's going to be a reality, and it's going to be here if you cry out to the Lord for help and if you let go of the control you try to exert on your life. So this morning, I'll ask you to stand up. Bow your heads. And without looking around and checking who else is going to respond to this message, because as I said, this message was challenging even to me. Because the question today, this morning, is not about your heart. Is your heart in the right place? I hope it is. I hope your heart beats with the compassion and passions of God. But this is not the question. The question that the Holy Spirit is posing to us this morning is, are you willing to let go of the control in your life so the Holy Spirit can step in and build His strategy plan and then bring you to the promised land? Those of you this morning here that want to respond to the call of God on your life, that want to open your hearts, that want to follow God in His compassion and passions for the things in this world that He wants to bring from heaven to earth, but want to do it God's way, releasing the reins, I'm inviting you to come to the front and to pursue a new empowerment by the Holy Spirit that you can walk His strategy plan. I'm calling you not to delay, but to truly open your heart and to say, God, I'm letting go of my plans. I know you have a promised land for me, and you have spoken it to my heart, and my heart beats with your heart. I want to know you. I want a deeper relationship with you. I want a change in my family situation. I want to see my neighborhood come to know you. I want to see this city come to Christ. I want to see the situation at work get changed. But I'm committed this morning to let go of the reins and allow you to take me on a strategy plan that I have not envisioned, on a path that is very different from what I perceive to be the right way. Infuse your wisdom and your understanding into my heart this morning. May I be obedient servant, a vessel in your hands, where you can begin to channel and pour your wisdom, your power, your empowerment. May that become a reality this week. For I have waited for this promised land for too long, God, and I need to see that you are beginning to move me in that direction. Move in my life. Move in my life. One more time, I just want to ask you one more time, those of you that have not responded yet, is there something in your life that you're holding on to very strongly and not allowing the Holy Spirit to move in a way that He desires? Sometimes our good intentions are not necessarily God's intentions for us. Have we allowed the Lord to freely move, shape our lives, shape our character the way He desires? I'm asking you one more time, make that commitment. Coming to the front is not a magic place. It's not a magic carpet that's going to take you somewhere and transport you into your promised land. But you know what it is? When you walk from back there to front here, you are making a statement before people and before the forces that are invisible, yet they fight against you. But when you walk to the front, you are saying to Satan and his legions, I am committed to God and His strategy in my life. And I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, and all of your guiles, all of your smart entrapments will not work, for I'm willing to release the reins, and I'm willing to allow the Holy Spirit to empower me to walk God's way. I thank you for those that have answered the stirring of God on your life. I'm just going to lead us all in prayer, and then we will conclude the service. And those of you that have pressing issues and would like to leave, by all means, you know, we're going to be released at that time. There are two connection groups that are on campus right after the service, about 10 minutes after refreshments and all of that we take from outside. Those of you that are newcomers, I will see you in the hospitality room if you hang around for a minute for me. But I would like first, you know, as you are leaving quietly and reverently, you know, the rest of you, those that have come to the front, I would like for us to spend some time in pursuit of God for His will for our lives, so He may begin to show you His strategy plan for you. So the rest of you would be released after this prayer. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we glorify your name. We praise your holy name. We thank you. We thank you that you're a creative God. We thank you that who knows the mind of God, and who is God's counselor that we can come and tell you how to order our lives. We thank you, Father, that you think on a higher plane than we do. We thank you, Lord, that your paths are not our paths. We thank you that your word says that you make a way where there is no way, that you make a path in the desert, that there are wells that spring from dry places. We thank you. We thank you that where there is no life, you can produce, create life. We thank you that you, the God of light, can be the light in our dark circumstances. We thank you that you have such compassion for us. And we thank you that you care so much that you are bringing us to a place where we can release our own understandings, desires, strategy plans, paths, way to go forward. We can release all of that, put it on the altar for you, and then you can pick them up. You can take them. You can reshape them. You can mold them into what you can work with. And then as you begin to empower us with your Holy Spirit, then we can go and walk the will of God that will come from heaven to earth in our own circumstances. We praise you for that. We glorify you for that. And we thank you. We thank you for your love, for your care, and for the word that has come this morning to shake our circumstances so you can shape us into the vessels that you need us to be. In the name of Christ, we pray all of that. We give you glory. We give you honor. And now, as we continue to connect and enjoy each other's discussions and company, help us to go outside of these walls and impact the world for you the way you have set for us to do. Amen. The service is concluded, and I'll ask you to just quietly go, and you guys can fellowship.